Cowboys fans, we are your leather couch once again because the circus is gonna circus. Let's go Specs Set Piece and talk Cowboys.
The Specs Set Piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. When it's time to kick off the Austin FC match, say big at Specs, official partner of Austin FC.
All right, as opposed to what I saw yesterday, I think I would have taken a 0-0 tie. Not really a soccer guy, but I would have preferred that to what I saw. Trey, in the end, it was 23-17 San Francisco. There's a lot of things that will be discussed. Yes, we'll get to the end sequence and all of that, but give me your general thoughts on this one first. As a third-party observer, a non-Cowboys fan, what'd you think of 23-17?
So there were a couple of concerning things for you guys going into this game. One, facing a legitimate defense and how this offense has looked against decent defenses over the second half of the season. And then secondly, for as good as your defense has been, it seemed like there may be some potential for San Francisco to exploit a less than stellar run D. And unfortunately for you guys, that's exactly what happened early on in this ball game. Now, things obviously turned in the second half and more specifically in the fourth quarter, but this is just the wrong matchup for Dallas in the first round, unfortunately. I think they might have been able to get past this San Francisco team in the second or third round had they been able to build up a little bit of momentum first, but amongst every team left in the playoffs on the NFC side, save the Eagles, because the Eagles are complete crap, obviously, this was as bad as it got for you guys. And unfortunately, San Francisco made a lot of those predicting the outright upset correct.
Yeah, the only team, obviously, that could have been a worse matchup, I think, would have been Green Bay, which was impossible at this particular juncture. But all the stuff we talked about happened. It's one of those many times where, as a fan, what I want and what I think is going to happen are two very different things. I said last week I thought 24 could win the game. That's exactly what the Cowboys needed.
You nailed that.
They couldn't find it. Against the Cardinals, they needed, 26 and couldn't find that number. And in the end, I'm not going to say out and out proud of the Cowboys' defense. I don't know that that's the word. But, Trey, they held to those three field goals, and they made it reasonable. And then Jimmy Garoppolo helped out with a mistake or two of his own to actually make this thing close. But at 10-0, it felt like more than that. At 13-0, it felt like more than that. At 16-7, it felt like a 20-point lead because the Cowboys' offense just could not get going. But like I thought, Kellen Moore would try to do it with Dak Prescott's arm, 43 attempts, not do it on the ground, 21 attempts. I was right about those two things. Tony Pollard, in his last two games, if I'm counting right, has 7 combined carries. He did not deserve a fifth carry, Trey. Apparently in this game, Ezekiel Elliott did have 12 carries, but only a 2.6-yard average. And, oh, by the way, 14 penalties in a playoff game, a franchise record for the Dallas Cowboys.
Not just 14 penalties, Chad, but how about 3 defensive holdings on run plays in the second half? 2 of which happened over the final couple possessions for the 49ers that allowed them to extend drives. One of those is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But 3, including 2, when you absolutely have to get stops on run plays. I was watching both of those with Kevin and Aaron surrounding E's phone, mm-hmm. and we were looking at one another like, what in the world? I cannot remember the last time I saw a team commit 2 defensive holds on run plays in such short order.
Now, for the record, did you guys think the calls were bad, or did you think they were holds?
One of them was definitely a hold. The second one was definitely a hold. I'm pretty sure the first one was too, though.
I agree. I mean, most of the time, the penalties, I thought they were legit. As a fan, I wasn't screaming and yelling about, oh, that was a terrible, awful call. And it's like, but I watched the coaches yell at the officials, and I watched players yell at the officials, and I'm like, I'm watching that replay, and I'm like, man, that's kind of got to be called. You don't need to do that.
So apparently fans were throwing trash on the field after the game, and it was being directed at the officials,
yes,
as they were leaving the field. And did you see what multiple Cowboys players, including Dak Prescott, said about it after the game?
Yeah, Dak at first thought it was the fans commenting on them, and he said, you know, they need to understand how hard we work. And then the media clarified and said, no, they were doing that for the officials. And then he said, well, good on them, or
yeah,
credit to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Credit to them. So
yeah,
the excuse making is beginning. Were there some bad calls in that game? Maybe, but nothing that swung the game, especially early on, as San Francisco built that 23-7 lead. I know the 23 part happened in the third quarter, but I mean, give me a break. San Francisco was just, they came out and smacked you in the mouth on both sides of the ball early. It happened with their first touchdown, and then them forcing the Cowboys into a quick three and out. And the 49ers had all the momentum from there until Dallas started to chip away, and then Jimmy Garoppolo had a really ugly turnover in the fourth quarter.
By the way, I think you can add, can we add Wags and his wife to the list? Can you get up to like 14?
Yes, I'm sorry, you're right about that. 14, because Katie and Adam both left very abruptly. Now, Wags told me that he was leaving, and I know he had to wake up early for his TV job, but they also pulled the Irish goodbye too,
go.
So you're right, it is at 14.
There it is. Lots of text, I'm sure, will be rolling in today. Let's make sure you know what it is. 337-3776, your reaction to the Cowboys' loss. Yes, we'll get to that last sequence, but overall, they lose this game because they just couldn't find enough running when they needed it, and Dak Prescott was not good enough. 27.1 was his QBR. I'm going to say that again. 27.1. He was sacked 5 times. His offensive line certainly let him down. His running game let him down, and at times his arm let him down. I don't think there were a ton of drops as I'm thinking back on the game, so I don't know if I could say the receivers let him down, but they just didn't have much of a rhythm for most of that ball game.
Can I offer some advice for your fat man on the sidelines?
Sure.
Going forward, assuming that he's going to remain your head coach, and we can certainly have that conversation throughout the course of this week, like what his leash is right now, if at all. Can he maybe stop trying to stare up at that giant screen above him every time he's not totally sure what happened on a play? Like, there has to be another screen in that massive stadium that he can look at that does not require him to add to the overall doltishness that he gives off on the sidelines.
Yeah, he does kind of have that blank
stare. It's almost like
I'm
expecting the sound to be coming out of his mouth as he's doing that as
Dude, it is not good. It is not good. And then once again, in the, you know, once Jimmy Garoppolo had actually given the Cowboys breath, given them oxygen they didn't deserve, really,
yeah,
in the game, Cowboys find a touchdown, they make a stop by an inch, and the Niners commit their own stupid offensive penalty where the offensive lineman doesn't know he needs to be set. Trent Williams, of all people,
yeah,
like a stud offensive lineman, has no idea what the rules are. Even after that, and the Cowboys get the ball, you have the sequence today that everybody is talking about, which we will go through, I'm sure, a couple times today, but it was so wild to watch.
So that Debo Samuel run that got it right there to the marker when San Francisco is,
yep,
trying to end the game, essentially, and they end up giving them the first down initially, and then they review it and they call it short. So we're watching the Nickelodeon broadcast on Aaron's phone, and Nickelodeon, which is obviously going well above and beyond with the production values on touchdowns and slimings and this and that.
Right.
For whatever reason, when they're showing the replay to try and give us an idea of where Samuel was when he went down, Nickelodeon just starts doing all these fireworks like at Debo Samuel's feet and knees, and it's like, oh, Nickelodeon, I understand you're trying to get the kids involved, but this is a crucial moment where we actually need to see those details versus your bogus production values.
I thought you were going to tell me like SpongeBob stepped in and was trying to tell you where his knee was.
Right there.
Yeah, so just short there, and then the Cowboys come up just short time-wise when they couldn't get a final play off. Let us know what you thought of it. Specs text line is 337-3776.
Hey, real quick, Cam, you've heard us talking a little bit about this over the last 20 minutes. You're a Cowboys fan, too. Anything we haven't discussed just yet that you think was a big deal yesterday?
I just think these losses are just a theme of the Cowboys franchise the last decade, two decades. Just every big game, especially this year, outside of the Buccaneers, outside of the games against 500 teams and above, the Chiefs loss, the Raiders loss, and the Cardinals loss, it just seemed like the Cowboys weren't ready to go when the game started. And Trey said the 49ers smacked him in the mouth. All those losses, they got smacked in the mouth. They just don't seem focused for these playoff games, and they're very undisciplined. 14 penalties, you can't have that. And it's happened this year. It happened a lot in McCarthy's tenure at Green Bay towards the end, and it happened under Jason Garrett, right? The Rams loss, the loss of the Packers with Romo and the Dez catch. Like, these are all games where the first half, the Cowboys should have been blown out, but thankfully or somehow they were still in it. In the second half, they kind of get their crap together. They still lose because they're not a good coach team, and maybe we thought earlier this season that – Kellen Moore or Dan Quinn, that they would be able to cover McCarthy's coaching blemishes. But I don't know what happened with the offense the last couple of weeks. I don't know what's on Kellen Moore or the offensive line or Dak Prescott. But we talked about it before, Chad, that once we found out the 49ers were playing the Cowboys, I just had a bad feeling because I just felt like when you look at the game and it starts and they show the video of Kyle Shanahan next to Mike McCarthy in the double box, yeah. Like, oh, crap.
That's it.
That's right. We have McCarthy on our sideline.
That is it.
Here's the thing. Kyle Shanahan, he's not that great of a coach right now. Like, he may become a great coach at some point, but for his career, he's like 3 games below 500 in the regular season.
But this particular matchup, you just still felt better about him, obviously, than
McCarthy. Also a guy that San Francisco fans just have to be white-knuckling the rest of the way forward because he clearly has a propensity to coach teams to let big leads go late.
He does.
Like, that is an official part of who he is now.
Like, think about how weird that game was. It could have been 16-10 at the half.
It could have been.
If the Cowboys didn't, once again, have a mistake that backed them up and they couldn't get the field goal attempt, it could have been 16-10 at the half, and the Cowboys were getting railed at that point. I mean, they're getting smashed. The fact that it was 16-7, I was almost happy.
That was a credit to their defense holding on those field goals, for sure.
Yeah, that was impressive in a way. I'll give Dan Quinn, I'll give those defensive players a lot of love. Even in a game where, Micah Parsons got banged up a little bit at the beginning, was able to come back, but they had challenges there. They held it together enough, and they said to Dak Prescott and that offense, you need 24. You need three touchdowns and a field goal. That's what you need today. Three touchdowns and a field goal, or talk to Zuerlein about more kicks. You need 24. And they couldn't find it.
Are we sure Kellen Moore is going to be hired as a head coach this offseason?
I don't know.
Interviewing now, but what have you seen out of this guy that leads you to believe that he's going to be better as a play caller, adding head coaching duties, than he is right now with the Cowboys, where he has things pretty perfect in terms of the personnel and can't seem to get it right? And by the way, speaking of the run game that was not yesterday, did you see Zeke finally admit after yesterday's game what's been going on with his knee?
Yeah, PCL.
Partially torn PCL.
Yep.
Look, I understand you want to see guys tough it out and play through injuries at times, but if this injury was a problem halfway through the year and you didn't just take the 3 to 4 weeks to let him sit and try and heal up and go through rehab, shame on you if this was the guy that you were going to continue going with in the playoffs. Because what were we told over the last 6 weeks, Chad, when you and I would question why Tony Pollard wasn't getting the ball more? Oh, no. Guess what, guys? Big secret plan happening right now. They're actually holding Tony Pollard, and they're going to use him like that come playoff time.
Can't save him, yep.
I'm sorry. Is 4 carries what you meant by that? Because that's all he got yesterday.
That's it.
In a game where they needed some sort of spark on offense in the first 3 quarters. Okay. So we do need to also talk about the last play of the game.
All right. Let's get into it. 14 seconds to go at the snap. This morning, I heard from Rex Ryan, Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark, and apparently every friend Ryan Clark has that texts him, that the number is 16. They all know it. 16 seconds. You got to run that play with 16 seconds. 16 seconds is the boundary line. If there's anything less than 16 seconds, you can't do what they did. And I thought, well, wait a minute. If Rex Ryan knows that, and God help us, Dan Orlovsky knows that, why didn't Dak Prescott know that? Why didn't Kellen Moore know that? Why didn't Mike McCarthy know that? Now, you and I might not have known that yesterday, but apparently, Trey, in football circles, 16 is the number. So as they're practicing this, and by the way, if you missed it, Dak and McCarthy both defended that they ran that play. If they practice it and rep it, do they rep it at 14 seconds? Because that didn't work.
And by the way, if they rep it like that, guess what they didn't take into account? The fact that the ball needed to be re-spot by a ref who was running from upfield.
Yep.
So that was part of the problem. If he had gotten to take the snap right then and there versus the ref kind of pushing him out of the way to officially spot the football, he would have been able to spike it, and they would have had that one more play. But that's not how the play works.
But this is how weirdly confident he was when he says, I thought we had enough time to get it off. Well, okay, go back and watch. Dak is coming back across the line of scrimmage at 5 seconds. He's kind of off to the side. He's kind of shimmying back in, and he's looking at a clock. The umpire's coming into his view, I would imagine, at 5 seconds. But that means that in 4, 3, 2, it has to be all done, and he's got to be snapping the ball. because he should know the rule is you can't snap it at one. You certainly can't snap it at zero.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they don't allow you to snap the ball at one because there's not enough time to do it. They've established that rule. It has to be two or you don't get it. He had to know that, but apparently he did not. Or just, I don't know, he thought he could get there. So in 3 seconds, that guy had to get all the way through, spot the ball. And then between him and Biadasz, they made it last too long. One of them needed to hand the guy the ball or get out of the way.
Yeah.
Or both. But they didn't do it. And in the end, you knew it was going to fall apart. And here's my favorite little detail of that moment, Trey. It's the fact, as much as I agree with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck deep down that they should have been at the game, it was wonderfully Cowboys poetic that Tony Romo was the analyst. Because at 7 seconds, Jim Nantz said, I don't think they're going to get it. At 6 seconds, Tony Romo said, oh, no, it'll be fine. They'll get it spiked. And I thought, later on, I thought, that's a perfect way to describe Cowboys. Why did he say that? Because he's Tony Romo. Because he was raised in that culture. Because he has been a part of no nuts, no bolts, no details. We don't cover all the details. We're not buttoned up. We just think we deserve everything. We get everything. We put that uniform on. We play in that stadium with that fire shooting up and 7-story tall cheerleaders. So we are entitled to something. That's why Tony Romo thought that, because his gut told him, it'll be fine. No, it won't, Tony. No, it won't, Nine. It won't, because they missed details just like your guys did, because that's what it's been for 25 years. It's a quarter century of missing details. Somebody already texted us today, Trey. Well, kind of sucked. The Cowboys couldn't figure out how to put curtains in that stadium. Somebody got caught in the sun. How many times have I mentioned the sun over the years? And everybody's, oh, there's the crap bag. There's the crap bag getting silly. They oriented the stadium east-west, don't put curtains in, and every time you have a 325 kick, there are sun issues, and it got them yesterday with a big drop.
You should be using that. If that's going to exist, so I think it's completely stupid that you're going to allow it to exist, that you're not going to put the curtains up there. But if it is going to exist, that should be something that is a home field advantage for you. That you can call your defense around knowing that sunspot is going to keep the opposing passing attack from throwing it into that part of the middle of the field. But instead, it seems to be the Cowboys that are hindered by it more often than not.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. By the way, I found the play in rewatching over and over and over again. I found what Dak should have done. Instead of the quarterback, the keeper, even though they had guys on the sideline, give me a little swing pass out to Pollard. Go back and watch the play. Look where Tony Pollard is. He just ran a little 1 yard, little safety route. Throw it to him. He can dance down the sideline for, I don't know, 3 yards maybe, something like that. You're at about the 30, 35, and you can take one, maybe two shots at the end zone after that. But no, they went with the 14-second circus play.
Look, you're talking about a seventh carry, or a seventh touch, excuse me, for Tony Pollard.
Right.
I don't know if we're there just yet with him.
Could have been exhausted, you're right.
We're saving his double-digit carry game for the NFC Championship round, Chad.
Oh, my God.
Pro Bowl. He's got to be rested for the Pro Bowl,
Got to be rested for the Pro Bowl. By the way, great text here. You can't blame the officials when 7 of your 14 penalties were in freaking pre-snap. True.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, they're
and I'm not going to blame the refs on 3 defensive holds on run plays either.
And then
I didn't see the first of the 3, but the second 2 looked good enough to me.
And only after that the clock went to 0 did Tony Romo say, "Oh, they've got to know that he's got to touch that ball, that the official has to touch that ball." So that's where they didn't go into the details. When you guys rep this play like you claim you do, they call it church time or church clock or whatever, which tells me the Cowboys are always late for church. But when they rep it, what's your time? Craig Way made a great point this morning on Light the Tower. When you rep it, is somebody just screaming the numbers or is it actually on a clock in front of you? Do you put it in a realistic circumstance? Do you do it at AT&T? Do you do it at the location where you're going to actually have the game? Because Dak looked lost. And did the guy kind of lay on top of him? I guess a little bit. But he didn't get up with the football ready to hand it to somebody. And then Biadasz, you're asking the young center to be a part of that responsibility. Biadasz sets the ball. The guy runs up, grabs it. And then in the Cowboys' defense, he did kind of move it underneath Biadasz, then pull it back out. That was weird. I'll give you that. But Dak Prescott is responsible for not having the umpire run flat into him. That's his responsibility.
He has to know.
He's the quarterback of the team at that point.
To your point, it's a common phrase that practice makes perfect, but that's an incomplete statement. Perfect practice makes perfect. There was clearly a flaw, if that is a play that they've worked on in practice, that they weren't accounting for, that led to them handling it as clumsily as they did at the end of that game to cost them that one final shot.
Remember the play a few years ago where Larry Fitzgerald ran the ball, sprinted the ball to the point it needed to be so they could clock it with the Cardinals?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a genius moment where we all went, oh, my God, he's Derek Jeter. He just did something we didn't think of. That's incredible. That's part of planning, like you're saying. That's the perfect practice part. Who's going to get the official the ball? Could have been Biotish. It could have been Dak. It could have been Noah Brown. It could have been anyone. Whose job is it? Like, while Dak was getting up, Noah Brown or whoever could have reached down, grabbed the ball, and turned and found. Where's he coming? Because you got to know now that the umpire is behind you, not in front of you anymore. That's a rule change.
What he does is he holds the ball and waits for Biotish to get there. And then gives Biotish the ball so Biotish can hand it off.
So he can give, right, right. However you want to do it. Or Biotish just sets it on the ground and stands up and waits because he knows the guy's coming. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And as soon as he's there, then he goes down and he's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't happen. So the Cowboys lose it 23-17. Give us your thoughts. It may take all day and maybe all week to get through that if you're a Cowboys fan. You heard it right here on the horn. Oh, my goodness.